Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church. Welcome to episode 180 of the Idea Talks. On today's episodes, we're going to be talking about creating an unstoppable team of deacons, elders, and ministry leaders.
That's right. You don't have to be in the ministry all by yourself. It's not just you against the world and against the devil and against his demons. You can have an unstoppable team, but it's often up to you to be the person who creates that team. And you can do so. We are going to teach you how. Dying churches rely upon the giftedness and calling of one individual. Thriving churches intentionally develop a unified and diverse team of leaders who will be able to take the church into the future. How do we do it, Drew?
You can't do it by yourself.
You can't do it by yourself.
And even if you could, you shouldn't.
No, because if you tried to, you're going to fail. And even if you succeed, you've succeeded on this mountain, this summit, all by yourself. Who wants to be there? So you can. Now, some of you think to yourself, well, I could have a team if I had $1 million to hire 10 different people over the next year. Well, you can hire it, I guess, if you're independently wealthy. But if you really want to build a team, you can begin right there where you're at. If you're a pastor of a church of 80 people, if you're a pastor of a church of 800 people, you can follow the steps that we're about to lay out in front of you.
There's 3 points. We'll unpack them, and that'll be the day. So the first one is we're going to recruit constantly. The second one is we're going to mentor intentionally. And the last one is we're going to review annually.
Yeah, pretty simple, pretty clear, like a nice sermon, yeah. Huh?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
As the old proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about how you can go further in your ministry by going together.
So how do we do that? Number one, like you said, you recruit constantly. Let me ask you a question, Pastor. Are you constantly aware of the fact that you need to recruit? You know, Drew said something a few episodes ago about the rule of three. Explain the rule of three once again for our audience.
Yeah, so in a professional environment and from a talent acquisition perspective, you always want to try to have a bench of 3 people for each position you have, especially as you get further and further up in the leadership. The idea is that if a person leaves or a person transfers or they get promoted, you're not caught saying, oh no, I never saw this coming. What are we going to do now? No, you anticipated it coming and you had a plan in place for their backfill.
Okay, so suddenly if I know my quarterback's going to be gone soon, I already have 2 backups ready to go.
Yeah.
And my question is, if you've got 2 deacons in your church, who are the 2 deacons that would replace them if one of them had to go? Are you already discipling them? Are you already preparing them? And this speaks to the first point that we want to discuss, recruit constantly. It should be something that is in your constant wheelhouse to know, I have to build leaders. Not just pray that God sends me leaders that somebody else has built, but I need to be recruiting and building leaders. Now, we say that there are 3 main aspects. Excuse me, there are 4 main aspects of recruiting constantly. And you might have your own ideas on this. We're going to share 4 steps of how to be constantly in recruitment for leadership.
The first one is spend time in prayer. In Matthew 9:38, it says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I think about, you shared this story at one of the idea events in the past, and you spoke to the audience. I think it was when we were first opening up in the morning, and you said to the group, some of you have been praying that God will send you that, you know, well-established Christian in his mid-30s to late-40s with, you know, 3 to 4 kids who has a loving wife and they're fully equipped and they have lots of ministry opportunities. And you said, maybe God will do that. Maybe that'll be something that God sends to you. But more than likely, the better plan is for you to make that person for somebody else instead of relying upon some other church to send that person to you. And this is what hopefully our prayer should be, is that when we spend time in prayer, that we pray that not only God will send us laborers, but that we can be the ones to send out the laborers into the harvest.
It should be something daily we're praying for. God, send laborers to us. God, send laborers from us. So recruiting constantly begins with prayer, but it continues by looking for potential and involvement. So I'd say the second step of recruiting is prayer, then look. Look for what? You're looking for potential leaders, but potential leaders who are already involved. That's what I like what 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says. It says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses," Paul tells Timothy, "commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Notice he says, commit them to faithful men. Do you know what we often do when we look for help? We look for capable men, but not necessarily faithful men. Give me a faithful attender. Give me somebody who is faithful in leading their family, somebody who is already doing the things that they know they're supposed to do. And as you see somebody who already has involvement, then look for potential. As you look for potential, look for involvement. They come together. But your eye should constantly be wandering. Your eye should constantly be looking over the congregation. You know what the devil likes to do to me, Drew? The devil likes to whisper in my ear about the person who did not show up to church that day. Hey, look, man, he didn't come. Why didn't he come? She's not there. Where's that family? Instead of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to remind me of who's there and who is ready for their next step as a leader.
Mm. The next step here is to build the relationship. Mark 3:14, it says, "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach." If we're going to recruit new leaders into your ministry, whether it's in a small capacity or a large one, the foundation of that should be building a strong and effective relationship with them. Sometimes when we spend time with people, the obvious question gets answered, says, hey, this is probably not a good fit. They might be able to impress you from afar, but when you get up closer, impact is just not there. Yeah. Or could be the opposite.
Yeah, notice what Jesus does here. As Jesus appoints his 12 in Mark chapter 3, what does it say? It says that before he sent them, he brought them. He brought them to himself to spend time with him, and then he sent them out. Well, shouldn't our pattern be the same? If you begin to identify these potential leaders who are already involved, and through prayer you believe God has brought them to you, build the relationship. Cancel your schedule. Pull things away from your weekly busyness and spend time with that individual, thinking to yourself, this is a future leader at our church. Build that relationship. And as Drew said, you may find out this person should not be future leadership, or you may see, yes, they are future leadership.
All right, last but not least, make the ask. Always be closing.
Always be closing. ABC. That's right. Always be closing. Yeah. And how do we do that within a church setting? Fellas, let's be honest. A lot of pastors are way more bold in the pulpit than they are in one-on-one conversation. They can hide, we can hide behind the pulpit, and we can hide behind our Bible, and we can give a general idea out there that people should get involved, when in fact what they really need to do is look one person in the eye and say, this is what I'm asking you to do. Once you have already spent time in prayer, you've looked for potential and involvement, you've built the relationship, you know who that next person needs to be and how they need to lead, here's what you need to do. You need to walk up to them, pull them aside, sit them down, look them in the eye and say, I see a lot of potential in you. I'd like to spend some time discussing how you can help me lead this church into the future. I've done this many times over the years. I can remember a conversation with you about this podcast, and sure, you brought this up. You're like, man, I feel like I have a creative desire to get involved in a way, but I'm not sure what that looks like. And I can remember sitting on your couch at your house and the flutter in my heart of like, oh man, I don't dare ask. We've dropped the podcast 6 months ago. Should I? And I'm like, well, yeah, I know what you should do. You are supposed to do the podcast with me. You remember that conversation?
I do. Yeah, and you think about the fact is, if you had never had the courage to be like, hey, this is a thing, if it aligns with your gifts and talents and calling, like, we'd love to have you do it.
Yeah.
Then 5 years later, we wouldn't be here.
And you know why sometimes we don't do that, in my experience, is we feel like one in the hand is worth two in the bush, meaning I might lose out the great things that Drew and Christina are already bringing if I push them too far.
Sure.
I remember doing the same thing with Michael McConnell. Michael McConnell was part of the church for a while, and I remember pulling him aside, and God just really impressed upon my heart, you need to tell him You need his help. I pulled him aside in the old building in the little hallway there, and I put my hand on his arm and I said, Michael, I feel like God wants you to be a leader in this church. I want you to take the next 2 weeks and pray about it because I think what you're supposed to do is be a deacon and help me lead this church. I was scared to death to say that to him. He was a great capacity, high capacity leader, wonderful businessman, but I was convinced after watching him and getting to know him and spending time with him, this is a future leader, so why not make the ask? And the answer is because he might get nervous, he might leave, I might not be able to effectively lead him. Friend, some of you are sitting there thinking, what do I do? Recruit constantly through prayer, through looking, through building the relationship, and through making the ask.
All right, so we move on to mentoring intentionally. So it's not one thing to recruit people into position that you know your church or ministry might have the need for, but you don't just drop them there. The idea is that you try to empower them and mentor them in that so they can be truly effective in that spot that they are fulfilling.
Yeah, so let me give you, this second point is going to be more what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be brief here, and then you can contact me if you have any questions. What we do at our church is one full year of leadership development. I do that with our mentorship program I've talked about with other episodes. That moves into what I call an apprentice of new recruits under good deacons and elders. My goal, and after bringing a young man through our mentorship program, is to introduce them to a current deacon, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, their senior, and say, follow him. Maybe that includes a personal discipleship, maybe definitely includes a personal relationship, but I want our established deacons and elders and leaders to apprentice the new recruits. And then lastly, I need to begin seeing myself and I need to begin viewing myself as a leader of leaders, not a leader of followers. And then I start training my leaders to see themselves as leader of leaders, not leaders of followers. So mentor intentionally. Don't just, as Drew said, bring them into the room, train them in the room.
Yeah, I think about, I even have the opportunity to do this now with somebody that's gone through your leadership class. We've been doing our one-to-one discipleship since January this past year. And they're kind of like halfway through this process, I would say. So they're not fully there yet, but like the idea is like they are coming along in their development so they can one day become a leader of leaders.
And how old is that person?
28.
Yeah. And so what are we doing at Southern Hills? What we're doing is maybe, who knows, maybe we're preparing them to help Southern Hills for the next 20 years, or maybe we're preparing them 3 years from now to move to your church.
Sure.
But what they did is they came to church, they got involved. I mentored them for a year in a class setting. Then Drew takes them for a year to 2 years and mentors them even further, disciples them even further, creating the next generation of leaders. So what we do, these three steps, we believe, in really creating an unstoppable team, recruit constantly, mentor intentionally, and then lastly, review annually.
So you do this really well. We have once a year where we you sit down individually with a deacon and their entire family and ask them specific questions about how things are going to make sure you're still locked, stop and barrel with what's happening with them.
Yeah, if one of the, I think, greatest frustrations of a deacon, an elder, ministry leader is a lack of clear expectations. And where you do not provide your leaders with expectations, strong leaders will create their own. That is not good for you. It's not good for the church. It's definitely not good for them. Sure. So an annual review helps them establish clear expectations. So we ask 6 specific questions in every annual review. How are you serving the people of Southern Hills? And we ask these questions beforehand. They fill out a form that answers these questions. How do you feel you're serving the people of Southern Hills? Why do we ask that question? To remind the deacons that they are servants of the people. Number 2, how are you serving the pastors of Southern Hills? We believe deacons are there to assist the pastors in their shepherding duties. Who specifically are you serving? How are you helping the pastors? Number 3, how are you promoting unity in the local church? Deacons can become some of the most amazing helps to a church. They can also be some of the biggest hindrances to a church. So we want deacons to constantly be asking themselves, how am I promoting unity? Number 4, who are you personally discipling and spiritually mentoring right now? We want a deacon not to be making decisions for the future of the church unless they're personally discipling and mentoring people for the future of the church. Number 5, What are two things that only you can do for our church? I love this question because every single one of the deacons have particular skill sets. And I remember just recently I asked this to one of our deacons and he said, well, you know, I'm in charge of guest services at and he named one of the most amazing world-class resorts in downtown Las Vegas. He said, do you think I could help or should help with our guest services table? Well, yeah, I think you should. And so including your deacons in areas of expertise. And then lastly, what counseling and training could we provide you? A lot of times we just don't provide enough counseling and training for our own deacons. So we want to say, what else do you need from us to do a better job at your job? And when those questions are asked annually, man, that really does help.
So that's a little bit of the snapshot of what reviewing annually looks like. Like you said, this is a pre-form type survey that we would fill out before you go to lunch with you and your wife to review these questions and actually, you know, set us up for the future as far as what our service looks like at Southern Hills.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do here at Southern Hills. And we know our plan is not necessarily going to be your plan. Our format may not be your format, but we do believe in the general principles of the first point. And that is you really can create an unstoppable team. It's not on you. And can I just tell you, pal, I know some of you are thinking, man, I just wish I had the resources to do that. If you spend the next 6 to 12 months intentionally mentoring and training just two men, it will not be a waste of your time. I know it feels small and it feels like it's not getting anywhere, but by the end of the year, it'll be you and two other guys. And then the next year, you and those two other guys can focus on you and those two other guys can focus on three others. And now you got six. This is how we build.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.